Hi Sarah, and welcome to Think Visual with Shapeshifters. This is our first online recording, and I'm really grateful that you're here with me today. Thank you for taking the time. Deanna and I, we've been running Think Visual for most of 2024, and to kick off 2025, we thought we'd do something a little bit different and go online. So this is our first one. You're our first speaker. Wish us luck.
I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. Okay, to kick things off, who is Sarah Stokes? How did you get to where you are today? And what's your story?
Well, that could be a very long answer. I'll try and focus it on design and some of the things that underpin my thinking. So I'm from the UK. I grew up there and I went to university there. I've been in Australia for 20 years, but between then and now, fair bit has happened. So I got into design when I was working at a theatre company in the West End. We owned 10 theatres, and I'd heard about this internet thing, and I said to the CEO, I can make your website. And I had no idea what I was doing. So I ended up being the web mistress, the designer, the information architect, the marketer. And it was a very steep learning curve, but we delivered a website in 3 months. And from there, I did a master's in interactive multimedia because I thought I had to back up the bullshit, if I may say that. And then from there, I ended up working various different areas in entertainment, other theatre and ticketing companies, Sky Television, when a remote could have been the interactive TV part of things, where you could order pizzas through your TV. And tickets, so I worked on that. I worked in financial services for quite a long time as well. And more recently in Australia, banking, retail, market research, property, and now I'm working in tech at Atlassian. So I've gone through all the levels of design, from even coding right through to kind of service design and organizational design. Underpinning all of it though, I would say, is like a human-centeredness. So I also did archaeology for work experience as a teenager. And so just understanding where humans are and how they live and how they thrive or didn't is quite interesting. And so from, you know, archaeology, human-centered in the past, to human-centered design, and now kind of person-centered leadership is where I'm at.
Wow. You sound like such a curious and go get them kind of person. Can you tell me a little bit about this? You seem like, just as an observation, you have this real great just do it attitude. Mm. Can you just expand a little bit on how did you get that way, and you know, what's behind that?
I am, whether I like it or not, I'm driven, I'm quite ambitious, and it doesn't feel like it's comfortable. It's like, that's just who I am. And I've got an inner drive, and I think I'm fiercely independent, and I always want to be doing well. And I want to keep learning. So it's that inner drive. I'm not sure where it comes from. I'm the bottom end of 6 kids. Maybe I was oppressed by my older siblings. I don't know what a psychologist would have to say about it. But I think being brought up in that kind of chaos makes you independent and self-possessed, I would say.
Wow. Another question. How do you use visuals in your work and in your life? It strikes me as, you know, your independence, your approach to things seems super creative, but specifically on visuals, what role do they play in your work and life?
So before sketchnoting was a thing, I've always been a doodler. I've always liked to draw. It helps me think, it helps me concentrate. And so people would always remark on me. I'd say, excuse me, I need to do this to concentrate. And I knew that from an early age at work. So people used to, people know that of me. And then I also think visually. So if I'm thinking about a concept, it will end up being an analogy, and I'll end up saying it's like we're going from and to something, so what's between us, or we're on a journey together, or we're feeling a bit at sea. So it's that concept of using visual language, which then helps me actually create visuals to align people. I think the other thing is I love frameworks and models. So when I worked in finance and we had consultants come in and they'd have all these fancy frameworks, be like, wow, look at that pyramid. That's an amazing quadrant. And they had all these things. And over the years, I've actually collected them all. And I've got this dodgy looking keynote presentation with all these frameworks in that I find incredibly useful as inspiration. But what they all speak to is externalizing a problem by using visuals to create alignment.
You're a great verbal communicator. When you use visuals, do you see that it improves communication, or you know, what is your observation actually of what it does to your communication?
I think I wouldn't say it necessarily improves my communication. I think it improves the collective communication. So it does actually improve. Actually, I'll go back on that. I've actually done an exercise before for myself by drawing a particular framework when I was doing some self-coaching, and it actually helped me achieve an understanding of where I needed to focus. So visualization can actually help yourself as a tool as well, depending on what frameworks you use. So yes, I think it's the visuals plus the thinking behind it and then the purpose of it. And knowing when you've run out, when it's run its course. So you might have an analogy and suddenly it breaks. So you go, okay, we can't continue this. We need to find something different.
Can you expand a little bit on the collective communication part? So what do visuals do for collective communication?
Well, I think, as I said before, I think it externalizes. So, you know, we've all seen diagrams of a thought bubble with a triangle in one and a square in the other, where people think they're thinking the same, but they're not. And so people are talking in concepts that's abstract. So if you have a visual, even though it may be an analogy or a metaphor, it's making something concrete. So you can say, for an example, we're going from something and to something. You can have two cliffs and a bridge over it. That's the future. This is the past. What are we leaving behind? What are we taking with us? People can engage with that, and it becomes more of a story. And you can talk about the journey over the bridge and what needs to happen first. And so all of a sudden, you're covering several concepts at once that make people think more openly and maybe less territorially or self-centered. You know, I think it's more about, I think it makes us more collective.
In this kind of rich diversity of work that you've been involved with, do you have any influences? They might be people or things or movements or ideas. Do you have any, and what might they be?
Well, I come from a bit of an artistic family. My sister, older sister, she does art workshops, but she used to run a ceramics design company and also architectural design. I've got three sisters and my mum, they all do sketching and drawing. So I think we've always had art in our blood. I also studied the history of art from Impressionism to Surrealism. I'm quite attracted to the Dada movement. I also think a bit of humour, so Surrealism as well. So I think that's just been part of my DNA.
And another question, why should people use visual thinking? Does it help?
I think if you are somebody who works with other people and you're kicking something off, it's a great time to use it because, again, it externalizes that thinking, gets everyone on the same page. If you're struggling in conversation, it can get you over a hump. Because you can say, rather than, oh, it looks like we're dealing with a terrible situation, it might be, do you remember that time when Homer Simpson designed a car and it was like a Frankenstein car and had bits all over the place? Well, it feels like that's what's happening now. Perhaps if we had a vision of what the car would be, it would end up being like Homer Simpson car. And then you can draw a picture of a car and that kind of gets everyone thinking about the problem rather than something else. Yeah.
I love your reference to Homer, and the the Homer Simpson car is a bit of a classic. Do you mind telling us a little bit about some of the metaphors and the frameworks that you know, that you'll kind of discuss on the day, and you know, how would people actually be able to make use of it themselves?
Cool. Well, so as people come into the room, so spoiler alert for those coming in, I'm going to put some pictures on the wall, like a hammer and a nail, a swan, an iceberg, a coin with two sides, and you see a picture and instantly you can relate to what we're talking about. So I think that's like a stimulus to understand that we can use visuals to very quickly convey a message or a thought experiment. So that's the kind of the metaphorical side of things. When it comes to frameworks, I could just draw two lines. That's a quadrant. That could be effort, impact. It could be love it, hate it, want to do it, don't want to do it for coaching. You've got the iceberg model. So that's like, that can be behavior, or it can be the UI, UX and all the technology beneath it. Then we've got things like the pyramid. So we've got Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but that can be all sorts of different things, pyramid shape. So these are shapes that are very simply drawn that suddenly align people on concepts. I'm sure there's a few, there's Venn diagrams, one of my favorite things. And then there's two circles next to each other, which is comfort zone and where you grow and things like that. So we'll be sharing some of those. And then in terms of, I'll talk a bit about why models and metaphors, which I've kind of covered a bit today, but I won't go into it too much now. But what I think we'll do with people there is in pairs, we'll go, what's it like? So it could be your job, your current challenge, your pet at home, your job. Yeah, so that kind of thing. And you can say, well, my job, I feel like I'm treading water. My dog is like a bull in a china shop. But you have to draw that thing and you share with the other person. Perhaps you can extend the metaphor and we'll share back and look at each other's pictures and see, maybe sharing just the picture, having a guess at how they're going at their challenge. And that's kind of putting it into practice straight away. And then I think the idea I want people to walk away with is you actually already have a toolkit of all these shapes, but it's just having them together in a toolkit means that you're already on a running start next time you're going to a difficult meeting or you're thinking and you want to have some inspiration.
That's amazing. Okay. Lastly, where can people find you? Because you know, I'm sure people will be interested in you know, who Sarah Stokes is. So where can people see some of your work or, you know, get in touch with you? Where's the best place?
Well, you could find me on LinkedIn. You could probably Google me and see some of my talks I've done. So Sarah Stokes, Sydney Design. I've done talks on empathy and design leadership wisdom and things like that. I also have a website, sarahstokescoaching.com. So see you there.
Fantastic. We'll be sure to include those in the show notes. But thank you very much, Sarah.
Absolute pleasure.